Supposedly this version was played by Scott Joplin himself.
Hmm.
Last year, in fact. That's not true.
It would be cool, though.
He's been dead for 50 years. Actually, I don't know how long, but it's been a while. It's Ryan Vinny Show, everybody. It's June 1st already.
Amazing.
It's already June. You'd never know if you lived in Seattle. You'd think it was still, like, March. But here we are, back in Seattle, after the Vegas trip.
It came and went very quickly.
Vegas did? Like, the longest 4 days of my life. It's a long-ass 4 days. We're going to talk a little bit about it here on the show. It's our first chance to make mention of this wacky trip. And try to convince all of you listening right now to go next year. And this is a free show, so what better way to try to convince people? We go every year over Memorial Day. I think this was Vinny's first year in a couple years. Is that correct, Vinny? You didn't go last year,
did you? I've been there. There was.
Did you go last year?
I was certainly there last year. Last year was, quite frankly, still my favorite year.
But I can't remember a thing that happened last year.
You were never there. You were working the whole time.
I do remember that. Oh, that's right. Everybody had the dance party at Dick's.
Mm-hmm. But it was 2 years ago was the year I was barely there. I was there for like 12 hours. Yeah. That sucked.
Well, I was there Thursday through Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Good God Almighty. That was a long time. It was great, though.
We all
had a great time.
No question. A good time was had by all.
Let's see if I can even remember what happened.
This year or last?
This year.
All right.
Good God. You think I'm going to try to remember what happened last year?
That's why I was confused.
The only thing I remember from last year was walking into Dick's after having worked all day long, and I said hi to everybody in my backpack, and then I left. That's my entire memory of last year.
That actually happened again this year. Except you also had Dave in his backpack and Ben Miller in his backpack.
This was a very newsworthy year. This is a year I won't be forgetting for a long time. For a lot of reasons. Not all of which
Some
will
of
be
which
mentioned.
We'll talk about.
Not all of which will be mentioned here on the air. But let's see, we got in on Thursday, and that's right, we went to the Brazilian Steakhouse.
I was not there for that.
That was great. Ate a lot of great food. I ate a lot of food. I out-ate Teddy Long, who had challenged me, I believe, over Christmas.
Foolish.
I out-ate him. Now, granted, he did out-eat me on Friday, but I was still recovering from Thursday. So, technically, I feel that I won this battle. Then we went to the Beatles show, Love, Cirque du Soleil. And that was the best show I've ever been to in my life. And I was not the only one that said that. That show was awesome. I've been to a lot of Cirque du Soleil shows. I never been to nothing like that. That's one I could go to every year, I think, without fail.
Really?
It was great. And like I said, I was not the only one. We went with several people. I'm going to send a few shout-outs here. I don't want to send a lot of them because people will be left out and feel bad. But, you know, everybody that I met there, you know, they were all great. They all know how awesome they are. So, but I do have to make sure to shout out the people that personally really helped me survive this weekend. One was Sideswipe, who got the tickets for the Beatles show. So a huge thumbs up to him. Also got to give a huge thumbs up to Doc G. If you are in Canada, I don't actually remember what city he lived in. But if you live anywhere in Canada, and your back is out of alignment, and you need a good chiropractor, you need to talk to Doc G. Even if you have to drive 3,000 miles to get to wherever he's at, or kilometers, whatever they do up there, meters, whatever they do up there in Canada. If you have something out of alignment, go see Doc G, because I had allergies. I had allergies the last week or so. And on the airplane, I had a massive sneeze, and I knocked a rib out.
Oh.
You ever had that happen?
No.
No buys. Couldn't even take a deep breath. I was trying to walk through the airport with my backpack on. I had to have my wife carry two backpacks, and I wheeled around the roll-away, the suitcases. That's how bad I hurt. I was in excruciating, ungodly pain. And Doc G, as a chiropractor, put my rib back. Of course, I immediately sneezed again like 3 hours later and popped it back out, so we had to put it back in the next day. But it has not been out since. So I thank God and Doc G for putting me back together again this weekend. Anyway, we went to the Beatles Love. It was awesome. A fine time was had by all. Friday, of course, was we did the weigh-ins. I remember that. They were nothing happened. Nothing of any value whatsoever. And, of course, it was the big dinner. A huge shout-out. You know, everyone I met this weekend, as we say it all the time, everybody that I met was awesome. Without a single exception. Just a bunch of awesome people. But I think everybody who went would agree that if we could only send one shout-out, it would be to Senor Hialeah.
Certainly true.
This guy is the man. And he arranged the most awesome Empire banquet on Friday night. I couldn't even believe this. It was at the, I forget the name of the
convention
the room.
Center or something.
It was a convention center.
Somewhere out there.
We had our own convention room and a buffet, which I swear to God was the best buffet, or the best food I had all weekend was at this buffet. And there were 60 of us there. We had dinner. We all met each other. We had good times. There was a raffle, the money of which is going to be used to bring Rami's, apparently his entire family, to Vegas next year. God forbid. I hope they know what they're in for. But they're going to be coming next year. $430 was raised to bring the family to Las Vegas. And Hialeah had shirts made up, Rami shirts. He had a whole bunch of different things, including... was it Zach? No, it wasn't Zach Ryder. It was whose tights?
Trent Beretta's tights.
Trent Beretta's tights were auctioned off.
And Scotty Goldman's headband.
Scotty Goldman's headband. We had all sorts of real cool things there.
Many of that supplied by ColtMerch.com.
That's right. ColtMerch.com.
Thank you for your help.
We love Colt.com.
Sure, sure.
So a lot of stuff was donated. We want to thank everybody very much for that. And for everybody that bought raffle tickets, a lot of money, as noted, was raised for a very, very good cause. And tickets, t-shirts are still available, by the way. So if you're interested in a t-shirt, a Rami t-shirt, email me and I'll forward it to Senor Hialeah and he'll get it set up. But goddamn, did that guy do a great job this weekend.
He really came through. He
helped everybody get hotels.
He helped everyone get hotels. He made sure they had at least one good event while they were there. He helped put together or organize and produce the entire raffle to do a good thing for our friend's family. He came through as a shining star, a shooting star. And the other shout out that must go to the banquet, I won't name them all because it would take too long, but all of you who stole gifts from Ed.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Shout out to you. You brought me great joy.
Now, the Vegas Convention Hall of Fame, I mean, begrudgingly, I've got to put Ed in because.
He did start it.
Ed started this ball rolling. So, Ed in San Antonio, thank you very much. And congratulations. The first inductee into the Vegas Convention Hall of Fame. But. Senor Hialeah goes in second because ever since, actually the last couple of years, he has made this thing work. He has taken the ball and he has run with it, as they say in basketball. I don't know. But anyway, congratulations to him. Thank you very much. And hopefully he's involved next year. I've already sent him texts of which he's not responded, but that's okay. But hopefully he's involved next year and can make next year as great as this year, and hopefully we can find some way to make it worth his while. So anyway, a huge shout-out to Hialeah. The banquet was awesome. It was a great time. Thankfully, there was no bullshit open mic, as Ed had threatened. Thank God for that. Vinny, you did a fine job leading the raffle.
Especially considering I had no prior knowledge I'd be doing this.
No, none whatsoever.
They basically stuck a microphone in my hand and said, read numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I did what I could.
Big shout out as well to Dr. Luch, who's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Who drove us all over the place. He was our personal taxi driver. Hate to use that term, but quite frankly, that's basically what he did to us. We would have got a taxi if it were not for Dr. Luch.
He came and picked me up at the airport. I think I landed at like 11:30 Thursday night.
Yes.
He came to the airport, got me, and dropped me off at the hotel, and then Saturday afternoon came and got me again. Actually, I met him somewhere, but then we went back to the airport to get my girlfriend.
Yeah.
A hero, this man. And then there is more, because Saturday came, and I did not have a UFC ticket. I didn't really feel like paying a lot of money for a UFC ticket for the show. I decided to accompany a group of people going to see Cirque du Soleil O, and Dr. Lucha was also in that crew. Well, Dr. Lucha had a good day at the slots.
A good 3 days, actually.
Well, at this point, he had only won $1,300. Mm-hmm. I believe he would later won more. but he was in a quite generous mood and thus bought me my Cirque du Soleil ticket.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. And we went to see O, and much like you said about the Beatles' love, this was the best Cirque du Soleil show I've ever seen.
Really?
I've seen like a half dozen between shows in Vegas and touring shows that have come up to the Northwest area, and all in all, this was my favorite.
Well, Dr. Lucha vehemently disagreed.
That is true.
And he's going to discuss it on the show tomorrow, why he did not like O. So this should be interesting. So anyway, Dr. Lucha, I just got to say, a great guy.
Absolutely.
And one of the most unselfish people I think I've ever met. I have to say that.
Yeah, it's hard to comprehend. And I basically forced a $20 bill on him at the end of the show, at the end of the weekend, just to say thank you.
He is an amazing person. So thanks very much to Dr. Lucha. And as noted, you guys went to O on Saturday night. I went to UFC. Fun time had by all. Actually, the show was only all right.
From what I hear, I made the right decision.
Well, I had a fun time there. It was a fun show.
And the highlight, at least from the in-cage standpoint, from what best I can tell, was the Superman punch knockout of Stefan Struve.
That was fun.
I saw that on ESPN. So.
Overall, though, the highlight of the show was Frank Mir versus Roy Nelson in the battle of the 260-pounders who have the most completely... In fact, their bodies are as different as yours and mine. And they had a great fight. Well, it was all right. But it was fun. I had fun watching these two beasts go at it. So I had a good time at UFC. Went back to Dick's. There were festivities occurring. Let's just say that. Oh, by the way, on Friday also after the banquet, there were festivities going on in Ed's room. All I know is that Mike Coughlin didn't finish partying until 8 a.m.
Yeah.
8 a.m.
I was very sad that I had to work in the morning.
I was in bed by 1. I won't lie. P.M. No, A.M.
A.m.
1 a.m., yeah.
I'm
old. Come on.
We left the party shortly after you did, around midnight-ish. I went home and worked for an hour, and then another couple of hours in the morning, which did suck.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes, though.
That's the way it goes. So, yeah, those were two fun shindigs. And, of course, on Sunday was the Peach Machines wedding reception, which, because of some timing issues, we all ended up showing up at 8, and he actually wished we would have shown up earlier because the open bar closed at 9, and we got kicked out at 9. But it was a hell of a fun hour. It was a fun hour.
It was, in an amazingly fancy room at the Venetian Resort.
I mean, you guys have to imagine, like, the Venetian and this beautiful room with chandeliers and the whole nine yards. And at fucking 8 o'clock, the motliest crew of miscreants wander into this place. Ed and his mullet and, you know, just all of these wacky characters. And they go straight to the bar. And that's exactly what happened here.
To be fair, we also rated his buffet.
That is true.
Even though we had
you know who started the buffet rating was me, because nobody else would even go towards the food.
You started the buffet rating.
And he was begging us to eat.
I was basically bullied into cutting the cake.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they'd cut 4 cakes at this point,
yes,
so the joy was out of the cake cutting.
Yes, but Peach's mother, also a very lovely lady and very polite, she made us feel very welcome, even though I'm sure she was appalled at this crew.
Yes. And then I would be remiss if I did not mention Granny. Granny is, she'll talk more about it on Thursday, but for those of you that listen to the show, you all know how Granny is. She's the craziest 81-year-old woman that there ever was. And, you know, she's Granny.
She's very opinionated.
I call her Guilt Trip Granny. She's very opinionated. She tries to give me a hard time. You know, on Saturday, she wanted to go to Peach's thing, but she was kind of giving me the old guilt trip about, oh, there's no one who will take me, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, I called Dr. Lucha, and we essentially arranged that we'd get her there. So, you know, and keep in mind, she'd been up late the night before gambling, that sort of thing. So, you know, we took her down to the Luxor Buffet. This is on Sunday afternoon, actually. Took her down to the Luxor Buffet, which is quite a walk when you're 81. And we all ate a whole bunch of food, and she's all, oh, man, I'm so tired, I gotta take a nap. We're like, well, you know, we gotta get out of here. So this was 4 o'clock. Why don't you go down and take a nap? We'll pick you up at 6 o'clock. And for those of you that have ever been to Vegas, our plan was to meet everyone at Chin Chin's in New York, New York. So I told Granny, we're all going to go to New York, New York. We can get a ride from there to Peach's deal. But We're going to walk from the Luxor to New York, New York. This is, you have to go through three hotels. So,
well, no, those two, those, they,
you have to go through the Luxor.
Yes.
You have to go through the Excalibur.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right.
And then you have to go through New York, New York to get to Chin Chin's.
Yes, yes, you're correct. I was confused.
An old woman at 6 p.m. So we go and we grab her at 6 p.m. and we start the walk. And we walk 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 and we walk. And every now and then I look back and Granny's giving me that look of, oh my God, I'm 81 and I'm going to die at any moment. Oh, I can't believe I'm doing all this walking. And every now and then you go, I got to take a break or I'm going to die. So we sit down for a second and she's like, oh, I'm ready to go. So we keep walking a while and we walk all the way through the Luxor. We walk all the way through the Excalibur, which includes up and down escalators. And by the way, you know the moving
sidewalk?
The moving sidewalk and the escalators. You know, Granny made it onto every one with like no problem whatsoever. But every time I watched her about to get onto one, I thought, this is the time her feet are going to shoot out from underneath her. She's going to go ass over tea kettle, and that's going to be the end of her. But nope. She made it every time. Kept going, kept going, kept going. We finally got to the New York, New York. So, you know, she's selling it like she's just exhausted. And we go and we sit down, and Dr. Luch is there, and everybody's there. And she sits down for a while, and she gets to rest. So I decided I was underdressed, suffice to say. And so I needed to stop and buy some clothes. And I looked in every hotel we went through, and there was just nothing that I found acceptable. So we finally decided, all right, we're going to take a taxi, and on the way to the Venetian, we're going to stop at the clothing outlet or whatever, the Nordstrom's. And Granny's going to have to walk in with us and sit on a bench while we go shopping so she doesn't get too tired. Of course, Nordstrom's closed, so they took us right to the Venetian. So we're walking, looking through stores all through. Here comes Granny, still going, still walking, still giving me that look of, oh my God, I'm going to die at any moment. I got to take a break. So I got a shirt, and we ended up finding Peach's place, and we partied for a while. Granny drank some beer, you know, had a good old time. Whole nine yards. And after that, we, you know, kept walking through the Venetian. We walked, we walked, we walked. We found an ice cream store. We sat there for a while with Doc G and the Frenchman, my good friend Celian. Celian the Frenchman, a great fella. Sat there till about 11:30 p.m. So Granny's just been going all day long, mm-hmm. You know, this old woman. So we... I offer to buy Doc G and Celian some ice cream. So I go into the ice cream store, and we're all standing in line, and I'm asking them what they want, and I'm ordering. And I look down, and there's a bill. And I pick it up, and it's a $100 bill.
Whoa.
And Celian goes, holy shit, give me that. And he grabs it, and he starts fumbling for his wallet, and he opens up his wallet, and, you know, there's a couple of hundreds in there. And, you know, he's thinking he dropped his hundred, and he kind of shuffles through for a while, and he goes, this ain't mine.
Oh, honest man.
And I looked at him, and we looked at Doc G, and Doc G looked at us, and we looked around, and, you know, no one's there looking around for their money.
Yeah.
So we're like, what the hell do we do? And, you know, it's like, well, we could turn it into the ice cream store, but I don't know. Are they going to make like are they going to be looking for the person who lost it? Are they just going to pocket it? What are they going to do? You know, no one's around claiming it. What the hell should we do? We didn't know what to do. So what happened was Celian just held on to it.
The end.
And we got our ice cream, and, you know, we hung out there for a while, and nobody came by going, my God, I lost a $100 bill. We just didn't know what to do. You know, do we give it away? Do we give it to charity? What do we do with this thing? So we go back, and Celian gives the $100 bill to Granny. And she's like, oh, no, no, I can't take it. And Celian's, hey, take the $100 bill. Oh, no, no, take it. Okay. So she takes the $100 bill, and we try and talk her into going to the high roller area and pulling the slot for $100, which, of course, she won't do. Even with $100 has been given to her. So we can't decide what she's going to do with it, and finally we decide to leave, and we have to walk all the way through the thing. We get back to the cab. We have to take a cab all the way back to the Luxor. And then as we're walking through the Luxor, everybody is partying at one of the clubs. And so we go in there and we sit down with Granny and we're all hanging out there.
It is Granny now, went to the club.
Yes.
I had not heard this before.
It is now 12:30 a.m. She's still going.
Hmm.
So, you know, Whitney and I are sitting there and I swear to God, it's like, we need to go to bed. It's fucking late. It's 12:30. We've been going all day. We've been eating all day. Just exhausted, you know? So, about 12:30, 1 o'clock, we say goodbye to everybody. You know, Rodney's there. Great man. Got to name drop him very quickly. And it's time to go and turn to Granny and say, all right, Granny, we're going to head up. You ready to go back to your room? And she goes, yeah. So we all stand up to leave, and we start to walk out, and Granny turns, and she goes, I'm going to go play the slots.
Excellent.
And I said, you're going to go play? You realize that you need to be up at 5 to get your plane, you know, to get to the airport, or 7. I think it was 7 o'clock. You got to be up at 7 o'clock to catch a cab to get to the airport. She's like, yeah, I just want to play one more time. So the last thing Whitney and I see is we are walking upstairs completely fucking exhausted from this weekend. Keep in mind, this is not day one. You know, Granny's been in Vegas with us for 4 days. It has killed us. Last thing we see as we're walking upstairs is Granny trotting on over to the slot machines. 1 o'clock a.m. Sunday night, after being there for 4 days, after walking all over the goddamn earth. So we go up to the room. I'm doing a little bit of work. What did I have to do that night? I uploaded a show. Oh, I was uploading the Observer Live to the RSS feed. So I'm waiting for the thing to upload. I'm waiting for, it's taking fucking forever. And I suddenly get a text. It's like 1:30, 1:45 in the morning. Granny's just won $200.
Woo!
And, or no, she calls me. She calls me first. I won $200. I can't even believe it. I was playing penny slots and I hit the jackpot. And she goes, I'm going to stay down here a little longer. I'm going to play this last 20. So as it turns out, she ended up winning another $50. And I don't think she went up to her room till like 2 or 2:30 in the morning. Wow. I've never even seen anything like this.
That's pretty insane.
And this was the lady that, like, on Saturday night, or I think it was Saturday night, she just goes, well, I don't think I'm coming next year. I think I'm too old for this.
Well, this is the woman who, which night was it? I guess it would have been the banquet, because Bridget and I accompanied Granny and Dr. Lutzer to the banquet. He was kind enough to drive. But this meant we had to make the long walk from the sports book over a bridge to the parking lot.
Yeah.
Maybe 100 yards.
Yeah.
Probably less. She was not happy about this.
No.
She let everyone on earth know how much she hated this walking bullshit.
Yes.
So, she made it.
You know, the other thing with Granny is, she is 81 years old, but she's like any other human being, you know? She doesn't walk like this at home. You know, she's got her exercise bike and that sort of thing.
Oh, I have a blister on my little toe that's not...
But the point I'm making is, you know, she's not walking, like, you know, miles at home every day.
Right.
And it was like this every year when she used to go with my Uncle Terry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'd go down there the first day and she'd just be just ridiculously exhausted after walking a bit. But then, like, after... They stayed down there for, like, a month. They like, got an apartment and they'd stay down there for, like, a month or 2 months at a time. You know, by the time that trip was over, she would have walked the circumference of the earth. She's gone, go, 'cause she got in shape. And basically, you know, by day four, she was starting to get her second wind. And she was going. So anyway, if Granny's not there next year, I'll just be absolutely just shocked.
True.
But that was my lasting memory of the trip, was this crazy old woman outlasting Whitney and I. And, you know, going to gamble. Just going to gamble. 1:30 in the morning on a Sunday night. Just a complete crazy woman. So,
yeah, my Granny story is not nearly that long or frankly exciting. And it barely involves Granny. But it was Saturday afternoon. We were all, she had been guilt tripping literally the entire crew, all 60 of us, that she did not want to play penny slots alone. So, a group of about a half dozen of us or so were working with her in shifts. We would each spend like a half hour playing penny slots while the others were hanging out at the bar. There was myself and Bridget and Whitney and Jakey and Dr. Lucha.
Got to give a shout out to Jakey.
Jakey's
he's awesome.
In every sense of the word, a fine man.
Yes, he's awesome.
But
although I would like to say one thing to Jakey very quickly. I read your memoirs on the website, and I just want you to know that I was the one that chose that Hugo Boss shirt.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, very good. It was my turn to play slots with Granny, and I'm not much of a slot guy. Never have been. You put the quarter in, you hit the button or pull the thing, and then you either win or you don't, and there's no thought, there's no strategy. It's just not very fun to me. But I'm playing with her, but quickly got bored, and so I'm looking around for other slots to play, and of course, it's Vegas. They have every themed machine on Earth. They have a Star Wars machine, a Lord of the Rings machine, the American Idol machine, and then I found the bank of Price is Right machines. And the thing is, each of these is different because they all have the big wheel you can spin if you get the right prize, but then each one has a different mini game. And there was a dice game slot machine, there was the cliffhanger slot machine, and yes, they had the Plinko slot machine. And I sat down and I'm just plugging away a nickel at a time, and I don't care about the money I'm losing, I don't care about the money that when I win. I just wanted to play Plinko, and I got to play Plinko twice.
Way to go, Vinny.
That was worth the $15 I lost in the machine.
I thought the story was going to end when Granny ended up at the bar with you guys and was drinking with everybody.
Actually, by that point, because I had been up, that was the day I had to go home and work and then wake up and work.
Mm.
And after about 2 hours at the bar, I went home to take a nap. So, there you go.
Those of you that are listening to this right now that are wondering if you should go next year, and I'm sure at least some of you were thinking, I'd never fit in. You're wrong. You are wrong.
Yeah.
With the 60 people that showed up, there was literally every type of personality. Just to randomly throw out a few names, you had Jakey, you had Bluefist.
Yes.
Dazza.
Dazza's an amazing man.
These are three, like, completely, completely different human beings. You know? Their personalities are all as different as can possibly be. And they all got along great. Everybody got along great.
Everyone got along.
There were loud people. There were boisterous people. There were people that would get kicked out of any establishment if they were there for more than an hour. There were very, very quiet people.
There was Mike Coughlin.
There were shy people. There was Mike Coughlin, yes. Every single conceivable type of person that you can even imagine. Males, females, you know, everybody. Different,
mostly males, let's be honest.
I can't think of like a single person, a single type of person that was not represented by the 60 that showed up. And nobody, I don't think a single person like felt out of place.
No, ever.
Or uncomfortable.
No.
In any way. You know, except maybe when Granny might have been giving him a guilt trip about slots. But, you know, in general, I think that, you know, everybody had a great time. No matter who you are listening to this, no matter what your personality is, I guarantee there is somebody like you at the convention,
mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, every single person at the convention could sit there and talk about how shitty TNA is. Everybody has something in common.
Yes.
So, next year, everybody, it's going to be over Memorial Day weekend. May as well get the ball rolling now. Take $10 out of your paycheck every 2 weeks, and how much is that? Over $1,000?
No. Every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks?
That's $250 a year.
Hmm.
You'll need to do more than that. But
wait,
listen.
So 52? Oh, yeah, you're right.
You said every 2 weeks.
Okay, anyway. Save some money, everybody.
Yeah, just do what you can.
You're getting a year's notice. So take a little bit here, a little bit there. Skip a latte here, skip a latte there. You know, don't cancel your subscription here, obviously. But, you know, save a little money here, save a little money there. And it will all add up. And next May, no matter where you live in the world, by the way, I was so badly wanted to do this and I forgot. I wanted to, at the dinner, take a list of how many different countries were represented in this year's convention. You know, I know we had like at least a half dozen different countries from around the world were represented here.
Multiple Englishmen, multiple Australians, multiple Canadians, one German.
Yeah.
That's five.
I believe one Irishman.
Probably.
America, Canada. I
mean, America, of course.
All over the world. So there's no excuse for anybody to not go. You will have... I'm trying to think if anyone's ever gone and not had a great time.
Impossible.
That, I mean, unless you woke up in a gutter somewhere or something like that.
Even then.
Because of your own stupidity.
Even then.
Sure. But it's a great time. Everybody just had a wonderful time. If you go to the board, you know, there's a million different stories. Jakey did the most awesome road report, as he always does. And everybody had shout-outs. There's tons and tons of pictures, including, I realize that I'm a little bit biased because it is my wife, but the best picture I've ever seen in my entire fucking life is my wife with the biggest drunken smile on her face, hugging Ed in San Antonio, who is as drunk as any man has ever been, and he's got a pink ITAP Boys shirt glued to his chest, and in the background, in neon, are the words, "Wrong way!" Never!
I did not notice that part.
Never have I seen a better picture than that one. It's up on my Facebook right now, facebook.com/Brian Alvarez.
One more quick shout-out on the theme of alcohol, and of course, to all the people who I spent most of my time with, they know who they are. They know how much I love them. But the on the theme of alcohol, I must give a shout-out to Charlie. I saw this man three different nights, three different times, in three different places, and I never saw him anything less than smashed.
Yeah.
This man is a amazing degenerate, a pure degenerate.
Yeah.
I admire him. A dedicated alcoholic.
Charlie from the farm. He's awesome. Everybody was awesome.
Yes.
Two people. You know, again, I'm going to feel bad. They're so.
I don't want to mention somebody.
I'm not
going to
start. I'm not going to start.
And the last thing, literally the last thing we did as a group, a crew of us after the wedding reception headed out to Fremont Street in downtown Vegas, where some of us had never been, and we had a great time, and there was more drinking involved. And it got to the point where we went into one of the bars because Daza, the Englishman, when he heard that in America you had a wonderful creation known as a deep-fried Twinkie.
Yeah.
He was immediately curious and had to try one of these. So we got in line, and sadly, shortly thereafter, they announced they had to shut the fryer down. And literally, and this is, you know, this is not a big fancy casino. This is a slot club, which is like a strip club, only more embarrassing. And there's a line of like 50 people, and they made this announcement over the speakers, no more deep fried Twinkies. And we all went, ah.
Yeah. I have learned something from this. Actually, I had a friend that had a French exchange student, a lovely young lass several years ago, had come to America. I learned it there first, but I have since learned it on these trips to Vegas. And that is that the foreigners that come to this country, mm-hmm, and come to Vegas are like completely and utterly appalled at our diet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they cannot even conceive of it. I mean, it is no, you know, when you hear about 50% of America is obese, and you read all these, there's all these diet books, and there are all these diet pills, and there are all these plans and ideas and that sort of thing. It seems like for a lot of people in this country, losing weight or just the obesity epidemic is some sort of mystery. It's no mystery if you don't live in this country.
Yeah.
It is very, very obvious.
Our food is disgusting.
Disgusting is not even the word. Our food is not even food.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the
answer.
Our food
is poison.
Our food is, in fact, poison. That is not a lie. The food here in America is poison.
Yes.
So be prepared if you're coming from another country. Now, granted, it's awfully yummy poison. Most of
it's
the time.
It's delicious, delicious poison.
But it'll kill you. It will kill you in the end. So, yeah. Next year, everybody, yeah, there's already a thread on the board for Memorial Day weekend 2012. Your last chance before the Mayan calendar ends. Mm-hmm. So you might want to take advantage, yes, of it. So it's coming up, and we'll be plugging it more on the board in the next couple, yeah, of years. But goddamn, I had a great time.
And where I was going before I distracted myself with the Twinkie talk, you know, in on Fremont Street, they have a canopy where they show the big light shows. It's 80s week on Fremont Street.
Mm-hmm.
They have live bands doing covers. They have a band called the Nancy Reagans doing Don't You Forget About Me by, I believe, Simple Minds. And everyone was dancing. It was a great time, and I was ready to move at that point.
And you know, one more thing about this what you, the listener, can get if you go to Vegas with us next year. There's everything is there. And I'm not just talking about Vegas stuff. Like, you know, everything you can imagine is in Vegas, first off. But when you go and hang out with everybody, there is fun. Mm-hmm. There is laughter. There is sadness. There's drama.
There is, yes.
There's pain.
There is woe. At some point on your trip, you will feel woe.
I'm not just talking the listener, but you will be able to, if you're one of those people who just likes to stand and watch a car wreck, there's car wreck for you. If you love to dance, there's dancing. Mm-hmm. If you love to drink, there's drinking. If you love to fight, I'm sure you can find a fight. If you love professional women, quite frankly, there's plenty of them there.
It used to be easier to pick them out.
Yeah.
The regular women now dress like the professional women.
Yeah.
But that's part of the fun, too.
If you want to just see people self-destruct before your eyes, this is the place to go. If you want to see, well, just pretty much everything that you can see.
Yeah.
You can see it next Memorial Day in Vegas.
Monday, Bridget and I were walking down the strip, just walking around, and the guy in front of us just reached over and pulled his girlfriend's skirt down and her ass was hanging out. She just kept walking down the street.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of thing you see in Vegas.
Vegas, everybody.
Yeah. And by the way, Brian and I do not make a extra penny for the people who go.
No, I lose money every year.
Yeah.
I get an astounding amount.
We're not pushing anything on you. We're not trying to sell anything. We just have fun and we want you to have fun too.
Yeah, everybody pays for themselves.
Yes.
There's no, you're not paying the website anything. I make no money off of this. I would like Senior Hialeah to make a little money off this next year just because he arranges this entire thing. But I go, I pay my own way. I pay for my hotel. I pay for my flight. I pay for all of this stuff. And yes, I lose a lot of money every year.
Yes.
We're not trying to sell something here.
And we look forward to losing it again next year.
We're just trying to get people together. That's what this is all about. Getting everybody together. And we don't even care if you're a subscriber. Although it is fun to introduce yourself by your board name, because I ain't never going to remember no one's real name. But, you know, I'll remember Dazza till the day I die, but I have no idea what his real name is. I don't care. Well, no one should. So, it's best if you sign up for the website, because you can really get involved and you know, the board is a wacky place, a wacky place of doom, but many, many friendships have come about because of the board. Some very close friendships, some relationships have come about because of the board, and 60 people who all know each other through this website all got together last weekend and had a goddamn great time. So you can be involved with this if you want to, and next year we'll talk about it more as the date.
We'll talk about it more next year.
We'll talk about it more next year. All right, we should probably get the show going because
I suppose.
Spent a lot of time, and Freeloaders are probably going, what the hell is this all about? This has nothing to do with wrestling. And, you know, you're right. But let's play a quick song, and then we shall talk about Raw very briefly. And I mean very briefly.
We had Caval carrying Lay Cool's belts. Rosa wanted to be in their group. They said no and made fun of her.
So Rosa shows up and she wants to be part of the group. And they made fun of her and she began to cry. Cry! Cry!
Yeah. Well, can't win them all.
That was a fine effort.
Good, a nice try.
It was a fine effort. All right, let us see. Let us see what we've got here on Raw. Go ahead.
Raw opened with technical difficulties. There was a nice Memorial Day video. There was a long blank screen. Then we saw Truth cutting what appeared to be an amazing promo with the merchandise stand, but we couldn't hear anything. Then we could hear it like it was done through a cheap cell phone, and it was not synced up with the video. Finally, he got into the crowd. He was talking about Little Jimmy's, and he ran into a black family in John Cena shirts, and they all looked ashamed, like they had betrayed their brother here. And Truth talked to them about how they came to see John Cena, and the dad said, "What's up?" And so Truth got in the ring, and Cena came out. Long story short, the GM booked the match for the main event. It was a non-title match, apparently, and then the GM added, "No Little Jimmy's allowed at ringside." This angered Truth, who told Cena, "You're going to get got." That was that. It was Memorial Day, so they showed people having a beach party backstage. This is a bunch of very lame-looking middle-aged men having the worst party of all time. Every second I spent in Vegas was better than this party. Kobe versus Dolph in a new refreshing match between two guys who fought a million times on SmackDown and are now resting on Raw. Dolph used a fame asser at one point.
A fame asser?
A fame asser, which actually is notable. Besides, there's a reason this is notable, and it's not just because I get to say fame asser on the show. Michael Cole, for the first time I can remember, plugged the live event crawler at the bottom of the screen because it was sponsored by Kmart. It turned into a good match by the end. I like when Dolph Ziggler, the amateur wrestling collegiate stud, went for a Nelson and crotch, and Kofi turned it into a cool roll-up. I was hoping that would be the finish, but it wasn't. So, Kofi went for his wacky slam, but Dolph hooked the ropes and hit the zigzag for the win. It was alright. Had an Alberto promo. I just lost my pace. He showed Kane and Big Show losing the tag belts and getting run over. Ricardo explained the accident in Spanish. Alberto said it was all Big Show's fault and bad things happen to bad people. But business is business, he said, and you owe me money for damaging my car. Ricardo will send you the bill. Alberto continues to be the king of all men. Kelly and Eve had wrestled the Bellas in a god-awful match. Even the Bellas were hesitating and slow on everything. Kelly got the hot tag and her belt broke off. One of the Bellas nearly lost her top repeatedly. And then Kelly won with the fame asser that she apparently stole from Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, in the previous match.
Yes. This the women's division on Raw without Karma to kill any of everyone sucks. We had a segment, a baffling segment. Michael Cole, who I guess is no longer a heel except when he wants to be, called Alex Riley down to the ring, said the GM had inexplicably hired Riley back. I'll say. Riley was on SmackDown last I heard, but I guess you've already been over this. It showed Riley beating up Miz last week. Riley came out. He has awesome new Linkin Park ripoff music. Cole cut a promo on him saying, how could you do this? You were Miz's brother, his go-to guy, his right-hand man. Riley said that he had never felt better and said Cole was arrogant like the Miz and annoying like the Miz. Cole called him a bastard. Riley went to beat him up. Then Mike Mizanin came out. He attacked Alex Riley from behind. And then Riley made his own comeback, beat Miz's ass, and sent him running for his life.
Yeah.
Let me repeat this. Miz dumped him from behind.
Yeah.
He had the advantage. He ambushed him. He was standing over the man defiantly and could not keep the man down. Riley fought back to the point where Miz had to run away under penalty of death.
Why does this shock you?
Because they've done more for Alex Riley in 2 weeks.
That's true, yeah.
Than they did for Miz since he won the ladder match.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know. Rey Mysterio and CM Punk had a fun TV match. Mason Ryan interfered for the heat, and then again he distracted Rey to break up the 619, and then CM Punk with a high kick. This was fun. They showed clips of Steve Austin on Jimmy Fallon playing Tough Enough. We had a Karma promo. She said she had it had been her dream to be a WWE superstar, but Jim Ross at Tough Enough had told her she was too fat. So she took herself to Japan. She cleaned floors and did all sorts of degrading work in exchange for training. She finally came back to the U.S. and worked every smoky arena she could find until finally she proved everyone wrong and became a superstar. Everyone cheered for this. And then she said she had also achieved her other dream of becoming pregnant. And she said she was leaving and couldn't wrestle anymore because it was a high-risk pregnancy. I'm not a doctor. But I would think any pregnancy would mean no more wrestling.
You'd think.
Maybe it's just me. So she's about to leave when the Bellas, realizing that she was now pregnant and couldn't kill them, they came out to make fun of her. They called her fat, all this sort of thing. Karma lunged at them and they reared back. They flinched, basically. And Karma said she would be back in a year and she hoped the Bellas would still be around so she could make another dream come true. And it's an interesting bet. Will the Bellas be around in a year?
I bet... Yes.
I would bet yes, but I'm not confident in that bet.
I would bet yes. That's my prediction.
They must think the Obama press conference they did for capital punishment is the funniest thing they've ever done because they show it a lot.
Well, that's for sure.
It's really not. We had more clips of the old men having the lame party backstage. Jack Swagger and Evan Bourne had a rematch. So last week, Swagger killed him clean and then Evan hit him with a cheap shot and ran away. This week, they had a boring match and Evan won with a roll-up out of nowhere. This feud is not working for me. And then we had Truth and Cena in a goddamn lame main event. The deal here was Truth would bail over and over and over and over again. Cena finally went in the crowd to get him. So Truth once punched him one time and jumped in the ring, and Cena got counted out.
Yeah.
This is how they attempted to build what I assume is a new challenger.
Mm-hmm.
So Truth went back to taunt the same family in the John Cena t-shirts. He threw a cup of water in the father's face, and then he ran away.
Mm-hmm.
This was worse than Miz running from Alex Riley. At least Miz was running from another wrestler. Truth ran away from a fan.
Fan.
Jesus Christ.
Well, the fan and his son. It was 2-on-1.
The son was 6. There was... If you want to get
he was older than 6.
If you want to get technical, there were 4 people there, but...
See?
Still.
He's overwhelmed, outnumbered.
Alex Riley would have killed them.
Yeah, this main event really sucked.
It did.
Is it really that hard to book challenger
Apparently
to John Cena?
Is.
I mean, if John Cena is, like, so popular, what are you worried about, having somebody beat him?
I don't know. Or, if you don't want him to beat John Cena, have him beat somebody else. They couldn't have had a Truth pin Ray? I know he just did, but still.
Well, I was going to say, he beat him last week.
Yeah.
I realize that everyone forgets a week later.
Because it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter, but yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah, this main event angle was really bad.
Are we going to talk about SmackDown?
The only thing I want to mention about SmackDown was the awesome Daniel Bryan match with Cody Rhodes.
Daniel Bryan and Cody Rhodes had a very fun match.
Holy shit, that match was great.
Yes. The only complaint that I had, the match was awesome, but Daniel Bryan won with a lapel lock, and then Cody immediately beat him up. This was the show...
Well, the feud's going to continue.
This is a show dedicated to make sure no one got over in any segment.
Yeah.
Sin Cara wrestled Chavo again.
Fucked up the finish again.
Again.
Is a La Mystica that hard?
Apparently it is. Even though he's been doing it 4 years with people who are not fucking it up regularly. We had Ezekiel Jackson and Heath Slater, where Zeke won by DQ. Heath Slater cannot just lose.
No, of course not.
He had Kali versus Kane, a segment impossible for anyone to get over. They did the angle at the end, which was... honestly, the angle was really well done, but no one could possibly care because it's the great Kali. We had Booker T and Michael Cole in the ring for a segment designed exclusively to get the crowd to chant Kiss My Feet at Cole.
I expect you to say designed specifically to suck.
Well,
what it did.
It did that as well. Sheamus could have had a promo that's actually really good, noting that Christian and Henry had one fluke championship in a combined 33 years of wrestling, whereas he won his first title just a few months after appearing on Raw. Excellent point. We had an amazing women's tag match. Alicia and Tamina versus the NXT girls. So they take Natalya, the best women wrestler they have, and now she's a manager.
Yeah.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. And then the team she was managing lost their first match. Cole laughed at Natalya for her failure, and I couldn't blame him. This was retarded.
This match was horrendous.
Yes.
The women's match on Raw, in hindsight, was 5 stars. This match was minus 10 stars.
This was very, very bad.
Very, very bad. This was horrible.
My notes read, Tamina and AJ tumbled to the floor in the clumsiest manner possible.
I'm sure that... What the hell is that girl's name? AJ?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she's a sweet girl. But she's the most annoying character. Well, I can't
character?
Say that.
She came out here, she wrestled a match and got beat.
She comes out and she jumps a lot.
I see.
She's a jumper. She jumps up and down and she's...
Remember you complaining about somebody else doing this.
She's all peppy. Her! Back during NXT.
Is that it?
Yeah, I'm almost positive. Oh, well, Austin Aries was a jumper.
Yeah, that was it.
At least he was a good worker.
He was a hell of a worker who did jump more than he needed to.
She needs to be a heel. I think she'd be a great heel.
Hmm.
As the jumping babyface. Of course, she's also really small. That makes it impossible. I don't see a long career for AJ.
No.
I've been wrong before.
You've laid down a lot of cons and not yet a single pro.
No. I'm sure she's a sweet lass.
They re-aired the Savage tribute video. Booker said flat out that the Ricky Steamboat Randy Savage match is what got him into the business in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the main event, a 3-way between Sheamus and Mark Henry and Christian. It was abundantly clear watching this that Christian would have had a better 1-on-1 match with either of these men than the 3-way we got. And instead, Randy Orton, or he had the pin with his move, but Orton jumped in the ring to hit an RKO on Henry. There are no DQs and a triple threat, but the ref was still distracted, and then Christian got pinned. So he's getting screwed again.
Hmm.
Main event was fine. The rest of the show was just completely useless.
Yeah, there you go. That's SmackDown, everybody.
It sure was.
I thought the Bryan Danielson match was great.
Yeah, it was a very fun match.
Still can't get over Chavo fucking up the La Mystica yet again. I'm going to have a big cover story on
Chaho fucks up the Mystica again.
Basically, I am. That's going to be the cover story of tomorrow's Figure Four. It'll make sense when you read it. But I got a lot to say.
Headline, fucking Chaho.
That's all I got to say is I got a lot to say. That's going to be tomorrow. All right, we got some shout-outs coming up. But first, we've got to review Episode 3 of World of Hurt. We're now reviewing this every week. Yeah?
We're going to do it all the way through?
I'm going to play a song first. That actually plays into World of Hurt. This song is called, it's not even really a song, The Best of the French Stallion.
I give you what you truly deserve, a first class ass beating at the hands of the French Stallion.
They're not spending enough time to look like pro wrestlers. I don't want to be mean, you know, but I'm doing 5 workouts a week, doing lots of cardio, lots of amateur wrestling when I'm back in France, you know, and I'm spending lots of time working on my body. So I just can't stand those guys and they think, oh, I'm a pro wrestler.
On his body. Part, you know?
Hey, what's up, fat boy?
What the hell was that? And his weakness.
You know, as great as that was, I can't hear a damn thing.
Is that turned up all the way?
I was turned up. That was pumped all the way as high as it could go.
That's too bad.
So whoever made that, pump your volume up a little bit. Pump up the volume. Should I play that song? No.
I think that will be played. That would be a drop within 5 minutes.
If I played Pump Up the Volume?
Just you saying that. Someone, as we speak, is mixing that into a drop, which is amazing because you haven't even put the show on the internet yet.
Well, I know that that's how it works.
Yeah.
So, well, this is Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, I see.
The music video for this is astounding. Pretty sure this was a one-hit wonder.
I have no idea who did this song.
Name that band, Vinny. Come on.
It's not Technotronic, is it? Oh, wait, Mars.
That's right.
Aha!
Google, everybody. Vinny's not really that smart.
How dare you?
All right. World of Hurt this week.
You know what's funny?
A source told me this was the worst episode yet. But it's fine.
Well, we've seen 3 of them. It may have been the worst episode, but I still enjoyed it.
It was worse in the sense that there was not enough of the Frenchman.
The good thing about this show is that it? They know they have a half hour to get something accomplished, and they're not going to waste time. There's one main character, and usually his foil or just someone he's working with. They don't waste time covering the crew, the entire crew. They're focused and tight.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, sadly, the French Stallion was neither of those men.
No, and I have it on good authority that the French Stallion episode is probably going to be the last one. They know their money maker.
They know the main event.
They know the main event of this program. So I heard next week's show is pretty damn good. So I can't wait to get that one. But this was about Carlo Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Cash Money Cannon. He has been with Lance. I think he may have been in Lance's first class, or he's been there. He was there a long time ago. You know, what am I trying to say here?
I have no idea. He's short.
Carlo was in one of Lance's first classes, if I recall correctly, way back in the day. Like, I should just ask Lance. Why the fuck am I talking about
this? Let's call him right now.
Anyway, Carlo is one of Lance's favorite students. That I can say. So, they claimed he was like 5'8 and 190 or something like that. And this was about how a small man needs to overcome his lack of size through aggression or whatever else it is.
Or high spots.
High spots, yeah, that sort of thing. So young Carlo here had to sell but not die. He had to do flips but not die, ironically. And that's what this show was about. There was a big fella. What's his name?
Dylan Knight. Also Australian. Yeah. And the graphic said the biggest man in the World of Hurt crew.
Mm-hmm.
So the stage was set early on when Carlo showed up for warm-ups, and here's Dylan Knight doing curls in the squat rack.
Curls in the squat rack!
It's not enough that he's doing curls in the squat rack. He needs a spotter
yeah.
to do curls in the squat rack. So it's two men taking up one piece of equipment. And then the weights fall
one piece of equipment that you should be doing legs in.
Yes. And then the weights fall to the floor, and Dylan Knight blames the spotter.
Yeah.
This is the best heel ever. I hated him. So they went through the aggression drill. Carlo was taking every move on earth, and Lance finally said, listen, you're small. If you take six moves in a row, everyone's going to believe you're dead. So he started bullying Carlo in the ring, openly telling him he needed to fight back, and Carlo just couldn't bring himself to do it. So Dylan took a verbal jab at him, and they bickered for a while. Then they were doing some conditioning drills. Lance Storm is a 40-year-old white man who can still jump ridiculously high. Mm-hmm. The box jumps he was doing were just, Jesus Christ. Carlo started yakking in the middle of the drills. Dylan thought it was funny. They were going at each other again in the kitchen. And here's where they said Dylan was the biggest dude there, really pushing the David versus Goliath storyline. And Carlo said, I can't wait to punch him in the face.
That's what we said.
Yep. They went through the aggression drill again. By random coincidence, Dylan and Carlo ended up in there together. Mm-hmm. Amazing how that worked out. So Carlo hit a dropkick, Dylan rolled out of the ring, and Carlo set up for a tope, but he choked. He couldn't follow up.
Flip dive, actually.
A flip dive, I guess not technically a tope. Tope is head first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tope con hilo would be what this was.
Mm. I see. Anyway, Lance told him that, you know, you're a small guy, you're going to need to take some risks. He said in his first match in WCW, he had hit a big dive, everyone remembered it. And you just have to take a chance sometimes if you're going to get by as a small guy. So Carlo nutted up. He hit an enormous flip dive over the ropes. Dylan didn't really catch him at all, but thankfully they had a giant crash pad there. So it was time for the live event. Carlo got there and realized the ring was much smaller than usual and also had higher ropes. So he was going to have to jump higher and would have less of a running start to do so. So they're about to do the match. It is Carlo versus Dylan. Carlo comes out and does a wacky dance step and hurts his knee.
Yes, he does a little wacky spin and then falls on the ground.
And then goes down cringing.
Mm-hmm.
That's no good.
Dylan, this reminded me, actually, of... people aren't going to believe this comparison I'm about to make. I was watching the Valet Tudo 95 Japan with Hicks and Gracie. And in his first fight, he's dressed up in his Ku Klux Klan robe. And he goes to hurtle into the ring. You know, you vault in over the top rope.
Sure.
And he nearly hooks his foot on the top rope. And I thought, wouldn't it be something if this guy that, like, they billed at the time as 401-0 ended up trying to vault into the ring for his first fight and hooked his foot on the top rope and took a header and knocked himself out and couldn't compete. That would be something else. Didn't happen. But, you know, that's what I was thinking when Carlo Cannon came out and during his fucking ring entrance. Is he's all worried about doing a flip dive in a ring too high with ropes too high. He goes out there and does a wacky dance and falls down and tears his knee out. Wow. But the man won't quit.
He did come back. Dylan Knight was bebopping around the ring for 10 minutes. They taped up Carlo's knee. He came back out and did the match. In highlight form, it looks fine. It came time to hit the big dive. He hit the big dive. It looked awesome. Dylan didn't catch him again, but Carlo at least landed on his back on the concrete. Lance was visibly pleased.
Visibly pleased, as in he said, and I quote, attaboy.
Attaboy! Which is the strongest language. Actually, he was cursing repeatedly on the show, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was happy.
I take credit for that, by the way.
And you told him to curse more?
Well, no, I don't picture Lance a big cursor, but then he started listening to our show and it just corrupted him.
You're right, he wrestled for like 20 years. I'm sure he never cursed before.
Oh, come on now, he was straight-laced.
So it was time for evaluation day. Lance sat down and he said his line.
You know why you haven't made it yet?
You know why you haven't made it yet? Which is
it's
funny.
Hilarious now.
It's hilarious, especially here, because after asking that question, he kissed Carlo's ass repeatedly. Mm-hmm. He said, you'll make money, then listed all the reasons he was going to make money, and then went on to say, you'll make fucking money. I guess this means enough money to pay for a good fucking. So, he raved about Carlo's athleticism, his guts, his charisma, and said
Memorial Day next year.
He'd have no problem overcoming his size. Carlo, you must come to the convention. We'll set you up, brother.
I do have to disagree with one thing Lance said, though, and maybe it's just the way the show was edited together, but he claimed that Carlo had charisma coming out of his ears. I didn't see that on this show.
No? What we saw was him laying on the mat, taking an ass-kicking for the most part.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, he looked like he had a pretty damn good match.
Mm-hmm.
But
his
I didn't
athleticism
see,
is fine.
I didn't see charisma coming out of his ears.
Maybe he meant the dance move where he hurt his knee.
Maybe. I don't know.
That part did not make it through the editing. You know, Impact has titles and we laugh at them. World of Hurt has titles and I'm fine with it.
Well, yes, because it's a good scripted show. Reality show that was taped in advance. Impact is supposed to be fucking live, and they have a title for the show like Kreskin or that's a dated reference. Who's a modern day mystic?
Chris Angel.
Does he really read minds?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that kind of thing. That's your world.
How about Nostradamus?
No, that's a very good modern day. That's in the show.
Regardless, Nostradamus is apparently in charge of the titles for
1,400 years ago, Nostradamus shook his head at you referencing him right there.
I'm sure. I'll bet that some of his doomsday predictions were from glancing into the future and seeing an episode of Impact. That's what it was.
That's a hilarious concept.
Well, that's all I can think of.
Maybe the first time in recorded history, a man said, "What the fuck is this shit?"
Yeah, it could have been. He's trying to make heads or tails of it and couldn't. All right, let's play a song here. Then I got to do some of these shout-outs. 2 weeks ago, I thought we had no shout-outs.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had about 8. I don't know how that happened. So I got an ass-load.
Oh, great.
A metric ass-load of shout-outs.
Metric ass-load.
So let me play this song while I find them. Hopefully this is a good one.
Caution. You are about to enter the no-spin zone. The factor begins right now.
Why did I jump Matt Morgan? Why the sunrise? Why does the moon go down at night?
Okay, how'd the moon get there? How'd the moon get there? How'd the moon get there? How'd the sun get there? How'd it get there? Can you explain that to me?
Bull****! You're lying to me, man! They shot his Dean out on the moon!
What does that mean?
I don't need a reason!
I don't know what that means!
Fine, what do you mean he's looking for
the other? Look, stop the BS here! Stop the crap! I'll boot you right off the set.
Beat your ass, son of a bitch.
Cut his mic.
Screw him.
Shut up.
Get out of here.
Shut up.
Get out of here.
Come on, you coward.
You're a dead man.
Fucking thing sucks.
And that is the end of this interview.
Fuck it.
Wow.
Is that Bill O'Reilly saying fuck it?
I think he may have.
Huh.
Here we go.
You need background music for this.
We got a lot of them. What's a long song?
Inagata De Vida.
Really? That's the longest song you can think of?
It's like a 60-minute song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Oops. YouTube is apparently... Actually, there is a site.
I hope it's just videos of people playing the tuba. That would rule.
I gotta check this out now. Oh, it's just a blank page.
Pity. YouTube.
It's like... That must be a hell of a page. I gotta try and in. You don't even want to know how I tried to spell it.
Wait.
All right, there we go. This one's only 4 minutes.
A live version reaching over 19 minutes long was released as part of their 1969 live album.
Yeah, the longest one I can find is only 10 minutes long.
This version lengthens the drum solo by roughly 4 minutes.
All right.
There's a 12-inch single that was 8 minutes, but anyway.
I'm going to try and play these in the background during shout-outs, bring some life to this segment. All right, here we go. My name is Dan. I'm from England, and I wish to cash my shout-out in. I've been a freeloader since early 2010 and a subscriber since early 2011. It's been great. Seriously, the quality audio shows is driving me nuts.
Now we tried something new.
Can't even fucking think. Sorry about that, everybody. Let me start over for this poor fella. This is Dan. Been a... What was that? Did you hear that?
It's a cat? Sound like a cat.
What in the hell was that?
Are we still recording?
Yeah.
Should I go investigate?
That scared the bejesus out of me. Did you hear that?
I heard a squeak.
I was hoping there wasn't a baby crying.
There's a frog.
Be a ghost.
Could be.
What the fuck was that? Hold on a second.
Okay, Brian's taking off his headphones.
What's the fucking cats?
It was the cats. Oh, wow. The ironic thing is that we're doing this at the exact moment we're supposed to be plugging the site.
I thought they'd been fed and put to bed, and apparently not. They're running rampant out there. Whew. Thank God. All right.
It's not a ghost.
I apologize, everybody, for my freak out there. Too much after dark. All right. This is from Dan. Wish to cash my free shout-out in. I've been a freeloader since 2010, subscriber since 2011. It's been great. Seriously, the quality audio shows, the newsletters are worth the money easily, but throw in the archives and the fun and weirdness of the board, you've got a great deal. Next time Brian shills on one of these free shows, just take the hint and sign up! Thanks to this site and the board, specifically Alan Farrell's section, I've been introduced to a whole new world of pro wrestling. Be it indie stuff, to lucha stuff, to the Japanese wrestling scene, and thanks to this site, I've always got something good to listen to when I get home from work, and two quality newsletters to read at work. Shout-outs to Derby County Football Club and the mighty Swift Flasby, a great band local to where I live. Check out their MySpace Facebook. Also, a big hello to my brother, who will be listening to this, no doubt. No fuck yous, really. I get pissed off like everybody else with certain things and people, but the best bet to overcome this is to ignore what's pissing you off. Jesus, I sounded like it'd be there. So, yes, thank you to Alan, yourself,
like
obviously, Dave, obviously, Vinny, everybody else who contributes to this great website, including the much-maligned board members. Cheers, guys! That is Dan from Burton.
What a happy shout-out.
That's right. Marco from Sweden, thanks to Dave and Vinny and Brian for all the reviews of all WWE and TNA pay-per-views and weekly shows, so I don't waste my time to see the shit. Thanks to UFC for all great pay-per-view we see in Sweden free. Fuck off to FC Barcelona and John Cena and Randy Orton.
Of course.
That's the shout-out.
All right.
These are shout-outs, by the way, everybody. If you sign up, you get one for free. You sign up today, it's $10.99. If you love this show, but you only get to hear one show a week, if you sign up, you can not only hear this show every time we do it, which is 2 to 3 times per week, but you also get every single show we've ever done in the history of this website, dating back to 2005. And it's not just a Brian and Vinny show. We do 15 to 20 radio shows every single week. That is no exaggeration. There are between 15 and 20 radio shows posted every single week. And you get every show we've done since 2005 if you sign up right now. That's a lot of fucking shows. That's tens of thousands of hours of audio. If you sign up for 1 month for $10.99, it is impossible to listen to every show we've done. It is absolutely impossible. We've had interviews with Ric Flair, Mick Foley, Brock Lesnar was on last week. Brock Lesnar, everybody, was on this show last week. Stone Cold Steve Austin has been on this show.
Bruno Sammartino.
Paul Heyman, Bruno Sammartino. Bryan Danielson.
Bret Hart.
Colt Cabana, Bret Hart.
Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho has been on the program. Lance Storm is on every other week. The list goes on and on. You could be listening to all of this right now. If you drive places, if you have a job you hate, and you try and listen to audio to not have to do your job, we have people that listen to it on the subway on the way to work. You know, wherever you listen to audio, the gym, just at home. I know Senior Hyalai's son, JJ, listens to this show as he goes to sleep every night. That poor little bugger.
Oh, God. We're.
But
he will be a murderer, I promise you.
The point is, you can listen to all of this, right? It's only $10.99 a month, for God's sake. So if you love this show and you sign up, I promise you, you will not regret it. Did you hear what I just said? I promise you that you will not regret it if you love this show. So sign up. And then you get to send in a shout out to me and I read it here on the air. So I want to say thanks to Brian and Vinny. The show is the reason I signed up. You guys make me laugh. You put a nice, hilarious spin on some ugly wrestling. I love when you guys review the old stuff. NWO pay-per-view review was gold. Thanks, guys! That's from Ron.
That was a lousy show.
We got some Smoky Mountain Wrestling coming up, Ron. It's going to be awesome.
That's even older than NWO and better.
Ryan Vincent, I am cashing in my free shout-out from when I signed up 2 months ago. I only found the show after originally freeloading Wrestling Observer Radio. Before signing up and giving your show a try, I am now a full-time B&V show listener, as your show is great. I want to give a shout-out to the both of you for much entertainment. Dave Meltzer, just because. The Kremen, for being great. Brian's friend, Mark, for being the greatest life force in the universe. Matthew of Botchamania. Steve McMichael and Scott Steiner's promos. If you could play Carlos the Dwarf Urgent Doors Ian Drop, that would be amazing. If not, no worries. I would vintage Oh My 900, but I have no idea where that song is. I'll try and find it at some point. Urgent Doors. I wonder if I've got that in here. Just take a quick check. If I don't find it...
I don't mind. Go ahead.
I don't find it. Do you remember this song, Vinny?
Not a clue.
Not a clue. Well, that's no surprise. Nope.
I don't want to set a precedent of being helpful.
I did a search, and I just found your shout-out. This is from Michael. My name is Michael, alias A Naked Jew.
Hmm.
Elsewhere on the internet, he says. So presumably if I search that, search it, Vinny. Search
Naked Jew?
Yeah. Don't search Google Image Search. Just search the term.
Should we... Naked Jew or just Naked Jew?
A Naked Jew.
A Naked
Jew. I joined the site in February.
It's not being suggested, by the way.
After Freeloader for over a year, I am sad to say I used to download pirated copies of your radio shows.
Oh.
But I am now proud to give you my money for the great work you do. Okay. Shoutouts to Oat Gan, who I know from the Kingdom of Loathing, and to everyone at kingdomofloathing.com, a great free online humor game. Also, a shout-out to your support representative, Tony, who resolved an issue I was having at lightning speed. That's good, because that's pretty much the only fucking thing Tony does at lightning speed. Further shout-outs to Cody Rhodes, the most underrated promo guy in the business, Colt Cabana, who exchanged emails with me about Judaism.
Well, there you go, then.
Tommy Fierro and the crew at popthecrowd.com. Fuck yous to Paul Daly, Kevin Dunn, and Jose Gonzalez. Freeloaders, sign up. You will not regret it. That is from Michael Bernstein.
All right, I'm just going to read you the top five headlines here.
Oh, no.
When you Google A Naked Jew, and I highly recommend none of you do this. First one, user, A Naked Jew, the Koi Wiki. Next one, Holocaust photos.
Bad times.
Next one, YouTube, satanic ritual with a naked Jew.
Very bad times.
Next one, fat naked Jew fires guns in New Mexico.
Oh, my.
And finally, 120 minutes of A Naked Jew is apparently a bird fucker. I regret that search. I'm going to wipe it from my history right now.
This is from Michael. First off, I want to get two shameless plugs out of the way. I just spent the last 6 days editing
walkthrough. Oh, and by the way, excuse me, over on the right, an ad for offensive search results.
Well, great. I just spent the last 6 days editing walkthrough videos of the game Silent Hill 4 into a movie, which you can all watch at youtube.com, user freewilliam93. That's youtube.com/user/freewilliam93. The game has the best story in the series. I thought it deserved an actual movie treatment. Also want to announce that my movie reviews have started up again in Vinny's entertainment folder. So if you're a freeloader, now you have a great reason to sign up. Now that Brian hasn't mentioned every week already, especially if you love sick films such as Subconscious Cruelty and August Underground's Mordoom. And what more could one want? That out of the way, the extended stay I've been in for a couple of weeks nearly burned to the ground today. I ran outside with my cats in a carrier that they hate and my collection of Dave Meltzer 4-star plus rated matches. An hour later, when the firefighter said almost everything could go back in if I left my collection outside, thankfully nobody had taken it. That's why I'm not going to tear in all the losers who feel they have to go out after me on the board, because so many things in life are better than getting even with trolls. In closing, I do ever want to give a super fuck you to John Cena. You can't wrestle, and your promos and delivery are killing the business. Woo, 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 you know it. And Brian and Vinny, please review Akira Hokuto versus Manami Toyota's 1995 match sometime. Women can be better wrestlers than men, everyone. He sent a link. For those of you that are interested, it's youtube.com. Watch ?V=JRJPFG794KO. Write that down. Came up with the great work, guys. The website is amazing. P.S. Brent Kremen is my hero. Bye. His hero, everybody.
Brent Kremen is his hero and he can't stand John Cena. And he would rather watch the woo-woo guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have unique tastes.
New member of the Empire shout out. This is from Jeremy. My daughter was born last night.
Aww.
Olivia Grace Deemer.
That's lovely.
My cat's named Gracie. Jeremy, congratulations.
That's the whole shout out?
That's the entire shout out.
All right, then.
Congratulations. There you go. All right. This is from Finn. Been a subscriber now for 5 years, never taken up the offer for a shout out, so here it is. Props to Brian and Vinny, Ed, Cotrere, and Craig. Dave Meltzer, Carl Stern, Les Thatcher, the Wrestling Weekly crew, Stu Rogers, Lee Griffiths, A.D. Wright, and anyone else I've ever attended wrestling or MMA shows with. And a big fuck off to Neil on the UKFF and Piotrich on the F365 forum. That's from Haphazard on the Board.
That is literally a shout out.
Keep up the good work, guys, he adds. He also thinks Ed's show should be a member of the Empire.
You're welcome to your opinion.
All righty. Let's see. What is this?
I don't know. I haven't a clue.
I don't know what that was. All right. That's it.
All right. Let's quit.
That's all, everybody. Hey, listen, all. Thanks for listening today. And remember, next year, Memorial Day weekend, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Right.
My goal is 100 attendees over the weekend.
Wow.
Do you hear that, everybody? 100. 4 years ago, this started with 6. Is that correct, Vinny? 6?
Something like that. 6 to 8
like
people,
six
or something.
Of us. Last year, it was, I think, 42. This year, it was 60. It's growing every single year. And next year, I want 100. I was shooting for 75, but then I thought, why the hell sell myself short? I want 100 of you fuckers here in Vegas next Memorial Day for the party of the year. So start saving your money now. If you're a freeloader, sign up. That's all I ask. Because there's going to be a lot of information coming out, and I'm not going to be able to give all of it away on the free shows. I'll try and help everybody out, but quite frankly, most of the stuff is going to be on the board.
Yes.
So sign up, join the fun, and next year you will have the best trip to Vegas you've ever had. And that is it from here. We'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Lucha. He's not only going to be talking O, but he'll be joined by the Cubs fan. We're going to talk Averno to WWE. Big story here. A lot of stuff to talk about tomorrow. So check it out, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thanks once again to everyone who subscribes and lets me go to Vegas, and good night.